Blog Talk Radio.
It's due time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday, and we had a wonderful, wonderful show as we started off with our girlfriend Vivian, and she gave us our socially conscious. Oh my God. We stepped in to our conversation with our ladies. And we ended up with our talk with the Techie Talk man, Dwayne, and we had our conversation with our pastor, Charlotte Beard, and she gave us the Faith Over Fear segment. Yes, we did. Okay. And we're going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to take our break nice and early, and we're going to be right back.
Cancer doesn't wait, neither should you. We know COVID-19 is on everyone's mind right now.
But that doesn't mean you should neglect your routine health care. It's important to take care of yourself by doing regular cancer screenings. Screening checks your body for cancer before you have symptoms.
Regular screening tests may find breast, cervical, and colon cancers early, when treatment is likely to work best.
Lung cancer screening is recommended for some people who are at high risk.
Talk with your doctor now about when and how often you should be screened before you develop symptoms.
If you're having symptoms, take action now and call a doctor.
Finding cancer early improves your chances of living longer.
Make sure to ask your doctor about the steps they're taking to keep you safe during visits.
Remember, cancer doesn't wait.
For more information, visit cdc.gov/cancer. This message is brought to you by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, American Cancer Society, and the National Comprehensive Cancer Network.
well, good morning to you, and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we have arrived at, wow, it's Therapeutic Thursday, y'all. It's Therapeutic Thursday, giving God thanks that he brought us safely through the week. And we're on this side of the work week. So, what are we going to talk about today? All right, I do have some stuff that we're going to talk about today. Get your pens out so we can take our notes. And we're going to talk about things you should never do when cleaning your kitchen. Okay? And I took a glance at the first few things, and oh, I'm already guilty of several of these things. So you definitely want to take notes and correct some of the things that you're not doing right either, possibly. Okay. Well, one of the first things they say is don't clean your kitchen sponge. Oh, my goodness. Don't clean your kitchen sponge. They say a dirty sponge or cloth will just spread bacteria. They say there's no point in trying to clean your sponge in the dishwasher. Oh, that's a new one. And definitely don't microwave it. Instead, just replace your regularly used sponge that can be washed daily. Yeah. I read this thing years ago where you microwave the sponge, but they're saying don't do that now. All right, for those of you who use a dishwasher, they say don't thoroughly rinse your dishes before putting them in the dishwasher. Okay? They say don't rinse every speck of food off your plate before loading them into the dishwasher. Thanks to advanced technology, modern dishwashers work better when you skip that step entirely. Okay. Well, I guess that saves on the water bill. Don't use harsh cleansers on granite countertops. Citric acid-based cleaners, vinegar, bleach, or other abrasive products, they say, can damage your granite countertops. Instead, follow your instructions on how to clean a granite countertop the right way. So I guess you can get that, like, on the Internet or YouTube or something like that. All right, next. Don't skip the degreaser. Okay? They say if you're making hush puppies or spaghetti sauce or you're frying chicken, baking with butter or cooking with anything else that's greasing, you will definitely get grease on your counters, on your appliances, in the cabinets. And they say to definitely use a good degreasing product. Don't just wipe or wash your countertop down because you're not going to get all of that grease up. No, get a good degrease up. Okay. Now they say you need to clean inside your dishwasher. So don't ignore inside of your dishwasher. Get in there and clean it out. Okay. For you coffee drinkers, don't forget to clean the coffee pot. Ooh, they say hot water deposits, coffee residue, and other gook can build up over time in the coffee maker. And they're saying that that can actually jam up your coffee maker. All right, well, not to mention that if you don't get all that stuff out, what else is accumulating in there? All right, so don't forget to clean that coffee pot. Next, don't clean the kitchen floor first. Oh. Okay. They say do the dishes, wipe down the counters and cabinets and appliances. Then do your kitchen floor. Because then you run the risk of falling. Okay. Are you keeping up? Are you keeping up? Next. Don't forget the kitchen sink. Oh, they say the sink might look like it's clean and spick and span, but it's one of the germiest places in your home, and it needs to be scrubbed and sanitized. Okay? So make sure you get that done. Okay, for those of us who do that quickie, they say don't just clean, disinfect. Okay? They say, yes, cleaning is good, but make sure you use a good disinfectant. They say that you have to kill those germs like bacteria and viruses. So make sure you sanitize your home. And we got tons of products that we can definitely go to get that done. Guess what, y'all? Don't skip the knobs and the handles. You wash your hands in the kitchen. But how many times are we touching the refrigerator handle? How many times are we touching all of the drawers? Oh, my goodness gracious. So make sure that you get to those doorknobs and handles. Keep disinfecting wipes. That really helps to get the job done. And they're not expensive anymore. It's not like when, you know, COVID first started. All right, I got a couple more. They say don't put knives in the dishwasher. No. They say keep knives and other sharp items. Don't put it in the dishwasher. They say that it wears down the steel and they won't stay sharp. Okay? Don't forget to vacuum. Okay? They say vacuum your home really good. You know, we got a very dusty home. Other neighbors, they also complain that the homes you dust, and before you know it, it's dusty again. But that's the dust we see, they say. A lot of dust gets accumulated, and we have no idea that it's happening and that it's there. So for those, especially those who have carpet, so definitely don't forget to use your vacuum cleaner. Okay, and lastly, they're saying don't just rely on your oven's self-cleaning function. Okay, make sure you clean the oven intentionally. Yes, get yourself a nice oven cleaner. One, they have ones that are fumeless now. Yeah, I mistakenly picked up, I think it's by Brillo. And boy, was it good to be able to just spray a little bit and not be gagging. Yes, I don't care how they claim, you know, that the aroma is not going to be heavy. Oh, that oven cleaner is a killer. Even if you just spray a little bit. So they do have those. Put your mask on. And gently spray down your oven and clean your oven manually. Okay? All right. So let me just run back through these things again. They say things you should never do when cleaning your kitchen. Okay? They say don't clean your kitchen sponge. Don't thoroughly rinse your dishes before putting them in the dishwasher. Don't use harsh cleansers on granite countertops. Make sure you don't skip the degreaser. Don't ignore the inside of your dishwasher. A lot of hidden deposits up in there. Don't forget to clean the coffee pot. Don't clean the kitchen floor first. Don't forget the kitchen sink. Don't just clean. Disinfect. Make sure you don't skip the knobs and the handles. And let me just add something to that one. You have got to be extremely careful when you are using, when you're cleaning or cooking your raw meat, and then you pick up your seasoning. Oh, that is the most germiest and bacteria-filled cabinet. If you do not clean your hands before you start seasoning your food, yes, okay? So that goes along with the doorknobs and the handles. Don't put the knives in the dishwasher. Make sure you use your vacuum cleaner on a regular basis. And they say do not rely solely on the oven's self-cleaning feature. Okay? Because you got to make sure that you are clean that oven well. All righty. So, what are we going to talk about today? Well, I actually do want to talk about Travis Scott again. One of the stories that we talked about with him was the fact that he, you know, was offering to pay for the funeral of the victims. Well, the one victim that died last, the little boy who was trampled in the beginning and kind of really launched this whole conversation with us about, you know, whether he should have been there or not, whether he should have been taken there or not. Well, remember, he was the last one to go. And he offered Travis Scott to pay his funeral costs. And the family said no. Absolutely not. And so here's what happened. The attorney reached out and tried to pay for Lil Ezra's funeral, and he sent a letter through his attorney. So I guess, you know, that was some standard letter that he was sending. I'm not saying it was worded exactly the same, but it was, he did it by mail. You know, he didn't just call him or show up at the door. He did it, you know, in a certain manner. And they wrote back. And I want to see. Okay, so their client wrote back. And they said, "Your client's offer is declined. I have no doubt Mr. Scott feels remorse. His journey ahead will be painful. He must face and hopefully see that he bears some of the responsibility for this tragedy." Or is it, listen, people, I don't care if it's $5. People are not going to offer if they don't feel partially responsible for what happened. Now, maybe they wanted the letter to say that, you know, I feel partially responsible, because that's not what the letter said. They didn't give any long explanation as to what the letter said, but they do say that part of it said, "Travis is committed to doing his part to help the families who have suffered and begin the long process of healing in the Houston community. Toward that end, Travis would like to pay for the funeral expenses for Mr. Blount's son." And that's how their attorney responded with the, you know, "We decline." So they're saying that they want to make sure that they're not caught up in the same, you know, world cycle. But I say it like that because they were saying that there's this whirlpool cycle of if you get your refund, then you won't be able to sue. So they're saying they're declining because they don't want to lose their lawsuit. Because remember, very early, they were saying they were suing. That was, like I said, part of the very first story that we ran on here where, you know, the child was in the hospital and they were suing. At least them. They were very vocal about suing. So they want to make sure that if they sue, they don't get kicked out of the possibility of getting, you know, that lawsuit pushed through. So, I want you to talk to me, 347-285-7777. Let me know what you would do. Now, let's look at the flip side of this. How many people are going to be suing? How much money are they all going to be suing for? Will you really be able to get what you're asking? So, you know, everybody's going to be asking for something, you know, separate. Or should it just be like a class action suit for those who, you know, maybe died versus those who, let's say, were damaged or injured, you know, and that's a separate lawsuit, class action lawsuit. So therefore, everybody gets the same thing, and you're pretty much guaranteed to get something because they look at how much money that was made and how much the organizations are worth. And then they set their sights on an amount of money, something that's attainable. See, when you go in individually and you ask for a certain amount of money, you run the risk of them being able to say that they can't pay this amount of money. Yes, they can actually do that. And it lowers. Remember, you start high so that when they come down, you actually get what you want. Or you actually get something substantial. You know, you don't get necessarily what you, you know, were asking for. But in a class action settlement, it works a little differently. Because they take one number that they know is attainable. The attorneys get their money. And then everybody else equally split that. Now, does this 9-year-old child even have insurance? Because most people don't have insurance on their children because they don't expect for the children to die, you know? So now you are gambling on, well, you got a GoFundMe right now because you know that these people are going to give. Now, I'm not saying whether they should sue or not sue. We didn't been past that. You know, and we could possibly go back to that conversation. But what I'm saying now is I'm just kind of weighing out everything. You said absolutely not. We are not taking with your money because we're looking to sue you. And, of course, if you sue, you're going for bigger dollars. Well, how many you got? He was number 10. He was number 10 who died. And, yes, we know this man has gazillions, you know, pennies. And he does have money, but, and not only that, remember there's, when they were looking to do some damage control, he wasn't alone. There was the arena who was jumping in and a couple of other entities that were falling into this here. So, you know, this is, are you struggling to pay for this funeral? And I guess you figure, well, you know what, we'll do what we do right now because we're going for the big guns. He deserves the big guns. But I got some thought there. You might not get what you're looking for. So I don't know. What you think. I want to know what you think. 347-285-7777. Okay. All righty. What else can we talk about this morning? Got some other stuff here. And let's see. All righty. You know how it goes. I'm trying to get this computer to act right. So give me a minute. Okay. Well, I want to talk about some other news. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this one. I saw this one, I think it was either the beginning of the week or last week. So, here we go in Texas again. We have in Texas a young lady in high school who's on the other side of the fence. Well, she walks up to her teacher who is on our side of the fence, and she hits her. Yeah, she hits her on the arm. Now, we do know that a few weeks ago, you know, we talked about, or a couple of months ago, we talked about the challenge, you know, hit the teacher challenge. So we don't know if this was on her mind or not, but they don't quite say why she even ended up at the teacher's desk. Well, the teacher was on the phone, and the young lady walks up, and she hits the teacher on her arm, and then says, "I'm going to call my mama." So I'm going to give you a piece of this conversation here. And I'm going to blankety blank because, boy, it was just a cussing young lady. So they say they could hear the teacher on the opposite side of the phone call because this was right when the teacher was in the middle of her phone call. And she was like, no, you touched me. I did not touch you. Then they say that the young lady says, "I'm calling my mama. You ain't about to F me up, B." Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out what happened. I've been reading this story, have not been able to figure out why this girl walked up on the teacher in the middle of her phone call, the teacher's phone call, and she then calls her mother. And she's like, "Hey, you know, she's black and effing pissing me off. I need you to get over here now because this teacher is about to get effed up. If she doesn't get the F away from me, you want to talk to her?" And she, because she's black and effing pissing me off right now, and throws the phone to the teacher aggressively. So they have actually a recording. Now, why she didn't remember that her little counterpart would have this on record, you know, on record. Yeah, these kids are recording everything, especially if it's a child on outside defense. Yeah, they're not going to let you, you know, talk to the teacher that way or hit the teacher or whatever, and they not record this. No, that ain't going down. That is not going down. So she is shown hitting the teacher, and then so something had to have happened for this girl to walk up to this teacher's desk and hit her on the arm. I'm not saying this right. I'm just saying they don't ever say what happened before then. All you know is she walks up to her and hits her on the arm and cusses the woman out. and cusses about the woman. And now we all talked about if we were on the other side and the receiving end of that blow, if we were a teacher, and nobody seems to be in the position where they're going to accept this here. No, not accepting no kid hitting me. Not at all. So they're trying to get something done. They have actually put out the video. The video is out there on the internet. And look at it. Look at it. We're going to talk about it a little bit tomorrow, you know, when you actually see the video. You know, we'll talk about it today, but after you all have looked at it, we're going to talk about a little bit of it before we get into our conversation with the men. And I want to give you one more story before we get to talking. All right, I got to talk about this one. Okay, so there's this Brazilian rapper, MC Kevin, and he is quite popular in whatever world he's in. And we talk about jumping to our death. Well, MC Kevin was in a hotel room in Rio de Janeiro, and he wasn't alone. And when a knock came on the door, he jumped from the balcony and he killed himself mistakenly. Yeah, he wasn't jumping to his death. It's not the way the story goes. He was running because he knew it was his wife on the other side of the door. And guess what? He was having a bisexual relationship. He was with his friend and a fashion model. His friend is a male, and the fashion model is a female. And he, like, freaked out. He did not want his wife to see him in this threesome. And he jumped from the balcony and to his death. Okay? Now, they say that the wife had been looking for him, and somehow he knew that the wife had been looking for him. And they say it was a friend who knocked on the door. Oh, my gosh. They said it was a friend who knocked on the door, and he thought it was the wife. So he ran and jumped from the balcony so he wouldn't have to deal with her. Yes. He was trying to actually jump to the terrace underneath the balcony. Oh, well, evidently, it didn't work. Well, they got to the police precinct and a fight ensued, and between the wife and this model chick. Yes. And they were trying to break them up and considering, you know, pressing charges against the woman for assault. Man. So this is what we do. Instead of facing the music, we get caught thinking we get caught. Ha! We're going to jump out the window. Well, it's about that time that I talk to my due time crew to see what they got. And I know we got a comment from the listeners. So when we talk about the first story, we'll then come back and we'll get the comment from our listeners. Oh, let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm on the other side of the fence today.
Oh my goodness gracious. Man, let's take this from the top. So you've got the family of the youngest victim who died from injuries during the Astroworld Festival, and Mr. Scott, you know, which he said from the very beginning that he would be paying for the funeral services. Well, when his attorney reached out to them, they said, absolutely not. We're suing, and that's where we want to get our money. We know he may feel remorse, but we ain't going that route. What you think?
Well, unfortunately, I missed that story, but I don't know. I think, you know, we should sue, get our money. You know, I'm in agreement with that.
Okay.
I can pay for the funeral.
Now, wait a minute before you go any further, because this is just a continuation of the story with Travis Scott. Remember we talked a few weeks ago with you gentlemen where, you know, that big festival happened. They said it was 50,000 people and, you know, 10 people ended up dying and many were injured and blah, blah, blah. Do you remember that?
Okay, that's all. Yes.
So this is just a continuation.
Well, then, no, I think, again, you know, like we said before, if you're going to pay for the funeral, then I just shut up and let you pay because a lot of it was on me.
Okay. All righty. Well, you got that one vote. I don't know what the comment is from the listeners, but I want you to send me your thought. 347-285-7777. You know, are we going to take the money and run? And that's why I said I have some thoughts. I'll talk about that in a little while when the comment comes from the listener. Or we are going to bypass, probably go do a GoFundMe, because I doubt seriously that this 9-year-old had any insurance or they had insurance on him. What you think, Pastor Kale? You think they had some insurance on this kid?
My kids are grown and I ain't got no insurance on them, so no, I don't think so.
You know, even though there is Gerber and, you know, other, you know, life insurance companies that cover children, most times people have a difficulty just holding down insurance on their own lives.
First of all, it's expensive to even buy Gerber products, let alone Gerber insurance.
You know what?
No, thank you.
Yeah, you know, this is a possibility that they did not have any insurance. And if they don't, the GoFundMe will definitely be out there. And so you're saying no. Well, Pastor Kale says, listen, I'm taking my money and running because part of it was my fault. All right. Well, what about, remember we talked a couple of months ago about the TikTok challenge, hit a teacher. Well, this young lady from the other side of the fence decides she's going to execute her option. I'm walking up on a teacher on our side of the fence and not paying attention to the fact that I'm getting ready to strike this black woman. Yeah. And she hits her and cusses about her. What's your thought?
Well, we just went from a TikTok to a knockout challenge. Because after you TikTok me, I'd have knocked you out. I'd have either been unemployed or in jail. One or the other. One or the other. And then I would have repented behind bars. So for all the Christian listeners, I would have repented. But I'd have knocked you out first.
I don't think a whole lot of other people wouldn't have been brawling. Because they did, all they needed was for that young lady to hit them first. Yeah,
I would have welcomed the mother's phone call. I would have welcomed the mother to come to the school. I would have welcomed her. I'd have met her at the gate.
Met her at the gate. All right. Well, Pastor Kale, we finally got this Brazilian rapper MC Kevin, who literally in fear jumped to his death, opposed to being found out by the wife that he was bisexual and in a bisexual tryst while she was knocking on his door. Well, he never even found out that it was just a friend. Oh, my gosh. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? And keep it clean, Pastor KL. Keep it clean.
The first thing that comes to my mind is that I could have used that excuse for something else. I wasted a perfectly good runaway for no reason. You know, that's what comes to my mind. I died for this. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It wasn't even the wife. You know, and then the other thing that comes to my mind, well, he said, I'm going to die anyway. Because if she finally, surely, she going to kill me. So let me take my chance.
Well, I guess that was his thought. Let me jump first and explain later. But
there was no explaining.
He met his death. That's some kind of story. That's some kind of story.
But you know what? How you explain that to Jesus at the gate? Why are you there? How you explain that? I'm just trying to figure out what the conversation, how it went down.
Oh, God. I tell you. I have always said, as a little side note, I've always said, I need to work toward the first resurrection, because I can't imagine being on this line, quote unquote, and trying to figure out what I'm gonna say to God. I have said that a million times. What am I gonna say to God that I'm gonna really try to convince Him to let me in at this point?
Right.
No, that's just too much pressure. That's way too much pressure, JL. So you're saying it as a joke. I have said this many a time. Man, please, Lord, take me on the first resurrection where I ain't got to say nothing. And all you saying to me is, you know, oh, my faithful servant, you've done well. That's all I want. I don't want to have to do no talking. No, thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Can you look at me and think I'm somebody else? That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? The light skin folks been doing it to us for years. Come on, keep the trend going.
Right? I just look like it. We all look alike. Oh,
that's
my
right.
Goodness. Well, I guess with that book, Pastor KL, in front of the Lord, that ain't going to be no, we all look alike. So I guess you can chill
right,
that
right,
thought.
Right.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're going to talk
you.
To our brother Al and see what he's got to say. Well, if he can talk. Hey, brother Al.
Chop, chop of the morning. I can't go loud like I want to, but chop of the morning. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, brother Al, we're talking about the Travis Scott festival tragedy, where the 10-year-old is being offered, you know, that he's offering to pay for this funeral. And what's your thought? Are you taking the money or are you going to wait for the lawsuit?
You know, I'm going to take the money, and, you know, he feels bad about the situation, and it's not, you know, you got to take some blame in it too. Again, why is my 9-year-old child at a concert with grown folks? And you know, you went in there, you saw how crowded it is, how everything is crazy, and you decided to go. So, you know, I'm okay, you want to pay for my child's funeral, I appreciate it. And if I'm going to sue anybody, like I said, I'm going to sue the people, the place, because y'all knew how many people at home, and y'all allowed a lot of people to be in it. So that's the situation.
Oh, okay. All right. So what you're ultimately saying, you let him pay for the funeral, but the lawsuit is going to be on the venue.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm still in the venue.
Okay. All right. I hear you. All right. We got the TikTok challenge of a teacher actually coming to the surface. How would you handle it, Brother Al? You on the phone? Oh, this young lady walks up to the desk, slaps you on the arm, tries to get your attention, and she's cussing about you, calls her mama. Yeah, we all out there. We all out there. What are you doing?
Man, well, she slapped me on the arm. So my first reaction is to look and say, well, okay, what the heck she hitting me for? And then I see her cussing and carrying on. I'm going to have to restrain myself because, again, it's a female. Now, if it's a little boy, he getting knocked all the way out. But being that's a little girl, my thing is, what is your problem? What are you putting your hands on me for? And then that's what the sister, you know, you know, we're going to go to making phone calls, writing up and stuff like that.
All righty. And lastly, your MC Kevin. In a hotel having a different type of conversation than what your wife is thinking that you're having. And she's knocking on the door and you run to jump from the balcony to the next floor. Somehow or another, you miss all of that. And you're dead. Well, you can't come back and talk about it, you know, and say, man, I wish I hadn't made that move. But what's your thought, you know, on this whole situation? You know, he's thinking his wife is, and it's only the friend.
Well, he must really be scared of her because she knocked on that door and he thought it was the wife and he's like, I prefer to jump off the roof than to talk to her, than to face this wife. So she must be very, very brutal because he decided to jump off the roof. And number one, that was that guilt too. You had the business out there doing that. So that guilt was on him from the beginning. So anybody could knock, it could have been room service knocking on the door. He was out that window.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do it, be smart. At least be on the first floor. At least get a place on the first floor.
Yep. Serious paranoia, Brother Al. Serious paranoia. Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got you. Well, thank you so much, Brother Al, for joining us today.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back with our continued conversation. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlotte. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today? Good morning, everybody.
I am actually doing well, thank you. I'm actually doing well. Oh, you doing well over there?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay. That's me.
All righty. Let's get your comments to these stories. Okay, so we got the Astro World Festival, youngest victim. They send a letter from his attorney to pay for the funeral, and you say no. What do you think?
Well, a lot of people is going to be on trying to get some money. I say, yes, let him pay for the funeral because you're going to get more from him that way, long as he doesn't have a limit on how I want to have the service. So I would say, yes, let me just get the money and let him pay for the funeral and to show up. I want him to show up.
Okay. So that's your clause, that you pay and make an appearance. You don't just throw your money in this direction and keep on going. Okay. That's a thought. All right now. You know, Brother Al always calls you a thug. So let's just see how thuggish you are. You're in the classroom and you're that teacher who's on that telephone. And you got the TikTok challenge played out. What do you do?
Well, it sounds like she didn't like her anyway. And now I'm on the phone talking, and you came and slapped me on my arm. So I would have to restrain myself. And I probably will flip it on her, start screaming and fall out. And now everybody is wondering what happened to me. So that would relieve me from choking her.
Wow. Now, that's an interesting direction. I didn't think about that one. That's an interesting direction, Pastor Charlotte. You're going to be the biggest victim now. Wow. Okay.
And I'm light skinned, so you know we bruise easy. So she's gonna turn black and blue anyway. So I'm just gonna fall out like she pushed me when she hit me, all that, on the floor. Boom.
Wow. Okay. Well, MC Kevin, whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't panic. He didn't panic and jump to his death. What was your thought?
Well, like everybody else said, he was wrong for that. But what he should have did, most people hide under the bed or in the bathroom or in the closet. He should have tiptoed at least to go look out the peephole to see who it was before he decided to jump. And then, you never know, she might have was downstairs when he jumped and saw him coming down. It might have was a setup where she sent somebody else upstairs to knock on the door to see which way he was going to come. He could have hide out on the balcony. And she might have saw him,
you know,
wanted to see him on that end.
You always got that espionage stuff going on, Pastor Charlene. We've seen it in movies where, you know, you knock on the door and she's standing on the side, you know, where you see the friend first and then, you know, you get relief and you're like, oh, phew, it's just you. And then she busts up. No, it's me. Yeah. Wow. Yep. That's a thought, Pastor Charlotte. Oh, my goodness. Well, at least he would have still had his life, right?
Absolutely. Just a few more minutes, though.
Yeah.
Because by the time
you
know, I
finished, it would have got to be something else. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, at least you would have got that conversation out the way.
Okay.
All right, take care of business first. All right, I'm with you, Pastor Shaw. Pastor Steph,
remember in I'm going to get you, sucker, they say either you take the stairs.
Yeah. Or go out the window.
So keep it away to the window. There you go.
Yeah. Woo. See? We you know, you would have gotten there the easy way. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. We'll be back with further conversation. Let's talk to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning and happy Thursday to you.
Oh, happy Thursday to you too. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderfully. I got up at about 4 o'clock this morning. I've been up since then.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're glad to have you on. And Pastor Charlene, thank you for joining us this morning. Well, Tamika, are you turning down this offer to pay for your child's funeral? And, you know, I'm going to turn that over so that I can kind of go after another pursuit, and that's for a lawsuit. Which one are you going to take?
Well, when I think about it, you know, funeral costs cost a lot of money. You know, and depending on how lavish you want it to be, it can be even more pricey. So, you know, I don't know the parents, you know, thought of mind or what they're thinking, but, you know, just kind of fancy them. Is this really about the child, you know, or is it about, okay, after the funeral, you know, you got this, you get, you know, is it for emotional pain and suffering? Is this because, you know, you took away from me, so now you're going to pay, you know, because that's the way that I'm thinking about it. It's more than just the loss of the child and paying for the funeral expenses. The way that I'm looking at it is, oh, you won't pay, you know, and you won't pay big, and you're going to put me in up in a house, and, you know, I'm going to get a new car, and, you know, I'm hoping that that's not the way that they're thinking, but it kind of makes me think that way.
Okay. So does that mean you would take the funeral money?
I will go ahead and take the funeral money. I mean, the thing about it is my child is never coming back. And it's obvious that you have some emotion because you're willing to pay for the funeral expenses.
Okay, all right. Okay, you're the teacher in the room, and your student has walked up to you. She gonna call her mama and get you on the arm, and then continues and calls her mama. What are you saying or doing during all of this? You're the teacher.
Well, everybody doesn't have the skills for being a teacher, and I'm not even going to try and pretend I don't have it. You know, I was always taught when we were little, you don't hit, you know, and now we're in a school where a child is old enough not only to hit me, but to call me a blankety blank, you know, and I know a lot of people who have lost jobs, who have been incarcerated just from that word alone. You hit me. You used explicit and you called me, you know, out of my name and you threw a phone at me. None of that is going to work for me. I'm going to need another teacher to come in there and handle the class for a moment while I reset myself, because otherwise I'm going to lose my job and we're going to be tussling on the floor. I'm just being very honest. I haven't arrived at that point, but I'm being as real as I possibly can.
Ain't no judgment here, girl. Ain't no judgment here. No judgment here. We just want to know what you would do. Now, if you would knock her out, because mama said knock you out, then oh well, you're going to have to eat that. Ah, all right now.
You're going to have to understand that you don't hit.
Right. And you're still talking about an adult. You're not even talking about a child. You're talking about
exactly.
An adult. You know, whether you're on that side of the fence, on the opposite side of the fence, on, you know, right or wrong, you don't hit your teacher. It's just, I don't know. But she gonna call her mama, and she did. And, man, that's some kind of conversation to be having with your child on the phone in the school in front of the teacher. So, I'm with you, Tamika. All of us ain't made to be the teachers. All of us ain't made to be the teacher. Ah, now, what about Poe MC Kevin? Is he Poe MC Kevin? Or you thought going in another way?
Here's the thing with that whole thing. Let's just be honest with people. You know, you have people who are okay with that type of circumstance. You didn't tell your wife about the circumstance, and now you're jumping from buildings. So I guess, you know, you've watched enough TV shows where people run from one side. And it's funny because you always look at those things and they run from one building to the other building. They always make it. Well, apparently you tried it and it didn't work. You only get one shot, you know, and if you miss it, that's it. And, you know, the way that I see it, he should have just been honest. You know, before you get married, period. We're always talking about relationships and things like that. You need to be honest with the individuals that you engage with, because if you don't, now everybody knows your business. You didn't want your wife to know, but now everybody in the world that can look on internet in any way, shape, or form, now your business is all out in public. So now what did you achieve? Now you're dead and everybody knows it, not just your wife. And she's getting money for, you know, your you know, whatever it is that you, whatever finances you made, she's getting proceeds from all of this foolishness.
Absolutely. Wow. Whole lot to think about. Excuse me, Tamika. Whole lot to think about. And like you said, you know, just tell me who you are in the beginning. Oh, all righty now. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back for further conversation. Let's talk to our girl, Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right. All right. So would you take this money from Travis Scott to pay for the funeral,
or would you deny it and hold out for the lawsuit money instead?
I would humbly accept the money. You know, he doesn't have to. It does show a level of remorse. You know, and it was your decision to be there, you know, so because you take the bulk of the responsibility, again, this is not something that he has to do. It would be the common sense thing for a lot of people. You know, integrity-wise, it's nice, but he's not mandated to give anybody any money. You know, so just humbly accept it and move forward.
Okay. Well, you're the teacher in the room. What's your thought when your student comes up, hits you on the arm, calls the mama, starts cussing about you, and going all off on the phone? What you doing?
I'm getting her locked up, and I'm pressing charges until she is old enough to be charged as an adult. And then I'm pressing more charges.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be the only thing that would keep me from getting locked up as well.
Ooh, wow. You and Pastor Charlotte went in a whole different direction. Wow, okay. That's something new. A new way that they're being held accountable. And she's in high school, so I think she was 17.
Right.
Yeah. Oops. Wow. Oops. Okay. Go ahead, girl. Well, MC Kevin jumps to his death running from the wife, who ended up not being the wife. What's your thought in this situation?
It's not funny. It's sad. It's sad. You know, when you're doing something that you know you have no business doing, and that's your first thought is to go out the window. At this point, I'm just caught. I couldn't imagine, you know, unless it's like a terrace where there's something out there, you think you can hide behind something on the terrace. I couldn't see myself trying to jump from anything on the outside of a building. It's sad. And it's especially because it wasn't his wife at the door. It's like, wow.
Wow. Okay. You sound like everybody else. I'm just caught. Ah, well, thank you so much, Shanti, for joining our conversation today. And we'll be back for more conversation. Yes, your comment. Thank you so much for reminding me.
No problem. So a listener sent in a comment regarding the story of Travis Scott paying for the funeral. And the listener sent in, I'm thinking that the families of the people who lost their lives will get more than the rest. So I would do the same as the family. But I'm also thinking that I would forgive because of my own negligence for letting the boy go and let him pay.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's Aaron on the side. We're pretty much, just split in the middle. But yeah, there's some, and that has to be a thought. That has to be a thought, and I'll talk about that later. But that has to be a thought that, you know, you really are partially to blame here. So, let's see. Well, thank you for your comment, listener. Something to think about. You know, you're kind of straddling the fence because there is a lot to consider. There's a lot to consider. All righty. So you made a very valid point. So thank you for joining us today in that comment. Well, here we are. Rip from the headlines. Oh, my goodness. I was coming across some stuff yesterday, and I was like, nah. We haven't done this in a while. And, man, these stories are absolutely crazy. All right, so the first one. My mom won't put up my wife's picture. All right. The story is I got married 2 years ago to the love of my life, and I felt like my mom doesn't really like her, but the relationship is mostly okay. My mom has a wall with a lot of pictures on it. There are plenty of pictures of my sister's partner, and there are pictures of extended family, but not a single one of my wife. My mom has pictures of her because some of these were taken at events we were at, but she just chooses the ones without my wife. Really, this is not something that I picked up on, but my wife did, and it bothered her. So I'm thinking about this from the angle of my wife's family is huge, and I don't think that her mom loves me, but I'm definitely included in everything. I brought it up to my mom, and she said she hadn't noticed, and I said I didn't really believe her, and I pressed, and she kind of shrugged it off. I pointed out that my sister's partner isn't her son because she said that, you know, well, you know, my wife wasn't her son or daughter, so she didn't have any obligation to put the picture up. But I pointed out that my sister's partner isn't her son or my aunt's husband isn't her brother, but she has pictures of them. My mom said it was her house, and the whole conversation is dumb. I said she can't exclude the love of my life, and my mom said this is a really pathetic thing to care about, and we are being weird. Pastor Charlene, what's your thought? You know, you have your husband who's not on mom's wall and didn't really notice it yourself, but did notice it. But your wife noticed it, and she is actually bringing this up. What do you think?
I think that it's not right because sometimes we have to be able to swallow how we feel. That's his wife. She's not the girlfriend. So now that it's the wife, I think that the mother should at least put once. You don't have to put a whole bunch, but just one. But I would try to do, if they had kids, I would try to do a family thing and see if she would put that one up, you know. And he had the conversation with her, and she feels how she feels. And it is her house, you know. So, but she's wrong. I think that she should at least put one picture. You at least have one that would kill all that conversation.
Okay, okay, okay. Brother Al, should mom-in-law have that picture up of her daughter-in-law?
Well, that's her house. You know, people forgetting she don't have to do anything. That's her house. Now, out of courtesy, maybe. But to me, it sounds like the son is a mama's boy. And she feels that, you know, this girl, this woman is not good enough for her son. Or she has seen some things that this woman has been doing to her son, and she don't like her. Mom straight up don't like her. I'll tell you that now. Mama don't like her. So, again, you know, out of courtesy, she can, but they have to realize, again, that is her house. She don't have to put the pictures up.
Okay, okay. Tamika, what say you? Should mom put that picture up of her daughter-in-law?
Again, just like has previously been stated, it is her house. However, you know, just to keep the peace, and you know, it's already been mentioned that if you could put up one picture, or, you know, get one that I'm giving you, put it in the drawer when you find out that we're coming, you know, put the picture up. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to have it up all the time, but can you do this for me to establish a peace? The other thing that he could talk to is his wife, you know. My thing is, that's her house. So you can't tell somebody what to put up. And, you know, why does it bother you that she doesn't have your picture up? You know, I mean, is it really going to make a difference between you and I? Because I'm your husband, you know. And so with that being the case, you need to talk to both parties, both the mother and the wife, you know, just to see if we can kind of resolve the issue so that me being the spouse is not in the middle of it.
Okay, okay, okay. All righty. Shanti, what say you? Should that picture be up?
I mean, if you, when you first notice it, and you bring it up. If her answer is still no or I'm not putting it up, whatever, just leave it alone, because all you want to do is just keep adding fuel to the fire. And especially if it's a mama on this side of the fence, like Brother Al said, that's what I was thinking. You already know. That means she don't like her. And as long as she ain't got the picture of the ex-girlfriend up, just shut up. Who cares?
Okay. Pastor KL, what are we saying here? Should mom have that picture up, or is her hot?
Well, y'all done struck a nerve here, because let me tell you something. I have a daughter-in-law. My son was in the service. It was across seas. And she went and messed up and had a baby on my son. Not only can she not have a picture on my wall, she and that other child can't come in my house.
Ooh.
And they still married. Okay.
So when he comes, he has to come without her?
He needs to come. He can come to Alabama with her, but he's going to leave her at the hotel or at his grandmother's house. Won't be at my house.
Wow. So wait a minute. So he has clearly forgiven her, but the pastor
forgiven her? Uh-huh.
He's forgiven her because he's still with her, right?
Correct. He's crazy.
Right. So he's clearly forgiven her, but Pastor KL ain't forgiven her. Is that correct?
No, wait. No. It's not me to forgive you. You ain't do nothing to me. But I choose who comes to my house.
So that's a level of unforgiveness, though. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm not erring on the side of right or wrong. I'm just saying he's forgiven her, but you haven't forgiven her because she can't come to your house. Like I said, I'm not saying right or wrong. That's what we're talking about today. You know, what do people think? You know, how you get included or what excludes you. So for you, this clearly says why she can't have a picture up on your wall, and even to a bigger, like you said, nerve, she can't even come into your house. So, wow. Interesting. So, no, she ain't getting that picture up. She ain't getting that picture. Let me ask the crew about the other side of your comment, because I'm curious. All right, who's next? Pastor Sharlin, what do you think about, hey, not only can't you come, your picture ain't up on that wall, but because you had a child on my son, he may have, you know, moved on with you, but I'm not moving on with you. So, wait, before you answer, let me ask you this, Pastor KL. Had she not had this child on your son, was she nice enough, in your opinion, to at least come to the house?
Well, okay. So that you can understand the history. The history is, when my son went to Japan, her son and her came and they lived with me for over a year. So she was fine.
Okay.
I got her a job. She was working. And then she felt that she needed to go back home. So we paid for her to go back home while my son is in Japan. So and then you had your own little rendezvous. So you was nice.
Okay.
Apparently you was too nice.
Wow. Okay. Well, now that you got the – thank you for helping us get a clear understanding. So, Pastor Sharlin, does she – we already know she probably won't get the picture up on the wall. But is she able to come in the house when he comes? Does he have to leave her at the hotel?
Okay, you're right about the picture piece, because you done messed up with my son. But my son forgave you. I only have to tolerate you for a few minutes. The conversation I would have with my child to see how he feels about me being strongly of her not coming now, once again, because, you know, we have to move past. So I would say, yes, she could come, but y'all can't stay but so long, because there's only going to be but so long I'm going to be able to handle her, you know, because it's going to have flashbacks. See, like you said, once you get the history of it, you know, I'm going with the history, too, of that being me and doing that. So, but, yes, I will let her come. I will let her come, okay. But not too long. Not too long.
Okay, okay, okay. Thank you. Brother Al, where do you stand? Picture?
Oh, yeah.
Visit. Where do you stand on this?
Okay, I've heard the history. Herbert was saying, I'm speaking for me. One of the problems we have is we don't let our children grow up. Yes, they are our children. You've grown. You got your own life. If my son is with this woman, she cheated or whatever she did, and she had a baby, and my son says that, hey, I forgive her, and I still want to be with her, I'm going to have a conversation with him. Okay, you sure you forgive her, this and that? Yes, Dad, I forgive her. I want to be with her. I got no problems with that woman. What I got problems with her for? She didn't do anything to me. My son is grown, and that's where we messed up. We get in our grown kids' business. You're grown. You forgave her. You want to move on with her? Then fine. I'm okay with it. She can come by the house. She can stay by the house. You forgave her. So who am I to sit back and be mad at her and you forgave her and moved on? That was your choice. So I got no problem with that young lady. You know, I might not like what you did, but you know what? My son forgave you. He wants to be with you. You're part of the family then.
That sounds crazy to me.
That's me.
If he forgives us, fine. If he accepts her, that's fine. You're right. It's his life. It's her life. That's right. Does not mean I have to accept it. It's her life.
No, you don't.
I mean, if that's what he wants to do, that's fine. But you can't make me feel the way you want me to feel because you made the decision to take her in. If you're that crazy, then be crazy by yourself. I'm not supporting crazy.
All right.
I hate you.
Right.
I got you. That's just me.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tamika, how are we weighing in on this?
Well, I'm going to go with the ideal. You know, a lot of times what happens just in general, and I'm just going to give my own situation, when we speak to our parents or family members or friends or whomever it may be about the situation, what happens is in their mind they get the perception that we give them. You know, the sad part about it is we're in a relationship with the individual. And so when we make peace and when we fix things, it doesn't always get fixed with the family members, the relatives, the friends, the neighbors that you might have spoken to. And so I'm speaking transparently about some things that have transpired in my life. And, you know, when I decide, okay, you know what, I'm over that moment, it doesn't get solved for my mother and it doesn't get solved for the family members and the neighbors and the relatives. And I think it should, you know, or you get to a point where you just don't tell people, you know, situations. A situation like this one, you can't avoid, you know, a child being brought into the world. However, you know, we're dealing with adults. And so me as a parent, yeah, you can come over. You can do what you have to do, et cetera. You know, I have to deal with my emotions based on what you did. But you can come over. Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. Would that picture go up on that wall?
You are a part of the family. You know, you are married to my child, so yes.
Okay, okay, okay. All right. Shantice, what's your thought? Yes.
Finally, well, I get some backup.
Y'all gonna act like the Lord isn't working on me, okay? Well, I would have a whole lot to say. However, because of my personal experiences with you know, me having an issue with someone and now someone else in the family, you know, when I'm trying to move forward now with the person, someone else in the family is not only mad, but loud mad. Like everybody else in the family got to know you still mad. And that's still causing so much friction where things can now start to calm down. Your anger is still inciting the situation. So you would know how I feel. It would be no secret. But I'm not going to continue to echo it. I ain't putting your picture up on the wall because that's not how I feel. But if this was your choice to move forward with your wife or with your husband, then I'm not going to continue to remind you that there was a point in time when she was crap or he was crap. So if that's what you decide to do and God has put it on your heart for y'all to move forward and y'all working this out and you've accepted this child and whatever, I'm not going to continue to now incite the situation because that's all I'm going to be doing. But not allowing you to come in. You know, I agree with Pastor Charlene, especially when it first transpires. I don't know about you spending the night. Because, you know, this is my child. You know, you did this. I can't dictate to someone else necessarily how to handle it. At the same time, you know, you have to respect the process that God is doing. You know, God is moving, and I may not agree with it, but I have to respect what he's doing, and I'm not going to now interfere with that process because I feel what I feel.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm so disappointed in you.
The one time when I really needed you to be in my corner.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. All righty. Thank you all for weighing in on that issue. I just wanted to know how everybody would think. All right. Here's another one ripped from the headlines. Everybody's weighing in because I said it's like crack. All right. So here we go. For Thanksgiving, we went over to my mother-in-law and father-in-law's place, and my mother-in-law is an excellent cook. And we also tend to get along very well. The stereotype of evil in-laws isn't true for us. Well, Susie made these lemon ricotta cookies that were downright amazing. So I probably ate 10 while I was there. I told Susie the cookies were like crack, and I couldn't stop eating them. We were all sitting in the living room at this point, and some people were watching football. All of a sudden, my niece stands up and shuts off the TV, so attention is on her. She calls me out for making light of crack and reminds us that her biological dad is an ex-addict. The biological dad is an addict. I reminded her that she is addicted to pills, that he is addicted to pills, not crack, and told her that it was just an expression and she should switch to decaf. We know what side the fence is covered. Oh, most of the family agreed and started to kind of, you know, pile on, you know, Denise. And I just told them to stop making comments and just put the TV back on. I didn't want, you know, everybody to be bashing her. And later, my wife told me that, you know, my niece is just a kid. And I should have been a bigger person and let her make her point. But I think at 20, my niece should know better than to take offense at everything. Oh, Brother Al, was he wrong for telling the mother-in-law that people like crap?
Not at all. It's just a figure of speech. That would have been me. I would have been like, I'd have heard her out. And when she finished, I would be like, if you don't turn that game back on, it's going to be a situation up in here. You want me to change what I said? Okay. The cookies is like marijuana. That's not. You know what I'm saying? That was an expression. You better put that. I don't know a lot, but I know you better put that TV back on. How about that? You know what I'm saying? You're 20 years old. and I may come in. You ain't like you 5 or 6 or you 10 and it offended you. You know, hey, listen, if it offended you, I will be the bigger person. Hey, I apologize if I offended you, but I didn't mean it that way. Now turn that TV back on and go sit down somewhere. Grown folks in here.
Oh, all right.
Not over no cookies, man.
Tamika, you know, Dad is on crack. Dad is an addict, and I think you need to be sensitive of the words that you bring in this house.
So, you know, I get that, you know, that person, you know, our father, you know, is on crack, but he knew he was on crack when I said it. You know, not trying to be funny, but just being realistic. You know, was it a surprise that he's on crack? You know, can I say my statement and move on? You changing the whole Thanksgiving dinner because I said this thing is like crack. I didn't say that crack was in the cookies. You know, just people need to just relax a little bit and ease back because, you know, then we get to the point where I can't say this and I can't do this and I can't. This is Thanksgiving, you know. It's a little bit, we just talked about Thanksgiving and people being uptight about things. Can you relax a little bit?
Wow. All righty. Oh, Shanti, did he fall back from saying the crack statement because Dad is an addict?
See, this is the kind of stuff that makes the quick tips because I'm tired of tiptoeing around your sensitivity. You know, I try to be mindful, you know, because I do say things and then at times I feel like the Holy Spirit say, okay, do you realize what you just said? And I'm like, oh, I just, okay. At the same time, it's, so everybody got to be punished because he's going to cry. I just don't know what. You know, and that's the phrase that I try to stay away from because I personally don't like that. I don't like that phrase. When something is good, like, oh, this is like crack to me. I personally don't like that. But it's, unless it was directed towards, you know, him, just pull him to the side, you know, tell him how you feel. Most likely he would have apologized because he was not intending to be offensive and just go on. For you to now make this the focus of the night. In the street terms, he's dragging it. That was just a bit too much.
All right. Pastor KM, you have your jokes that I always say, hey. This is a Pastor KL joke. But, you know what? What's your thought?
Well, I was about to say the same thing you say. You know, when you invite me somewhere, you better give me the full disclosure before I get there. Because you never know. You never going to know what I say. You know, there needs to be something in writing on what I can and cannot say. Because I'm going to say whatever I think is funny. You know, and then I'm a little different. When you go hard on me about your daddy, I'm going to have better jokes. I'm just going to keep on coming. You know, I'm going to give the people what they want. You know, so if you, I didn't say nothing about your daddy. I didn't call your daddy name. But now you sensitive, you know what I mean? And you think that I'm coming for your daddy. Now I'm coming for you and your daddy. You know, that's what comedians do.
No.
When there's a heckler in the audience, we come for you.
Didn't I just tell y'all? Dangerous.
Oh. I need
him
writing.
listen, wait, hold on. Just so I can say this. When I'm eating my dressing and cranberry sauce, I'm not the pastor. This is KL eating cranberry sauce. So if I want to tell a good joke, I'm going to tell a good joke as KL, not as Pastor KL. Now, if you want me to do the prayer before we eat, I pray. But then after that, I'm
Cam. Okay, no, that's fair. I always tell people, you know, please don't call me Pastor Steph when we in JCPenney. I'm just playing old.
Right.
Okay. Please. Pastor Steph. on the next app. No, I'm just playing those 70. You ain't got to worry about all of that. So no, I can appreciate the fact that you're not KL, or Pastor KL, but you're KL. Can really well be wrong.
Gotta have a disclosure.
I'm thinking so too. And listen, if you're inviting Pastor KL or KL over to your dinner, then you have to know him well enough to know that, you know, he may be liable to say any old thing. So yeah, you need the disclosure. I agree with him 100%. Get that disclosure ready. Pastor Starling, what's your thought? Bad joke? Shouldn't she have gone that far? What you thinking?
Well, she's sensitive, but she's 20. He didn't mean it. Let's get all of that out the way. He did not mean it. So she shouldn't have been wearing her feelings on her sleeve. And if she didn't, should not have turned the TV off, you know, like somebody said, to go walk on the side, you know, take him on the side. You know, I really didn't appreciate that. But on the other hand, that we, him loving the cookies so well, okay, maybe not crack, but they was addictive. So we all got addictions in something. So his at the moment was them cookies. I don't think that we need to tiptoe, you know, around, because he didn't say your father. He didn't, you know. So they was good. And after she finished, you know, apologize. You know, I'm going to try to be a little bit mindful. Now let's turn the TV back on. Can you give me one of them addictive cookies over there? Can you just bring me the plate of them? And that's what I would have said and sat down and would have finished watching the game.
Oh, so you would have pulled the Pastor KL move. You definitely moved. Wow.
Not as bad as he would do, but,
you know. Pastor Charlotte, you should have said, Pastor, yes. One of them Tony cookies. Pastor, one of them Tony cookies. The daddy name is Tony.
I'm so mad.
You see how he's all extra? Pass me one of them Tony cookies. I can't. You're going to hell. I can't do that. Can I take it? All right, listen.
Hey, listen.
I got time
and I said
for...
I was going to play charades. Guess who this is? We going to play charades.
No!
Guess who this is?
Pastor Charlotte. You cannot so easily be painted. Oh, my goodness gracious. Guess who this is?
Somebody be on the side today. Somebody got to be on the side today. I got you, brother.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness gracious.
We're ministering to people. We ain't picking sides. What in the world is going on here? Lord have mercy.
And laughter is always good. Laughter is always good. Take the situation.
I love the laughter. But we have to remember people are listening. So you don't know whether people take you seriously or not. You better put on the table the way it should be going down.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I apologize.
What do you expect from a thug? What do you expect from a thug?
Oh, my God. You know what? I got one more. Why did he get to pick both names? Okay. I'm pregnant with twins, and my fiance and I just found out we're having a boy and a girl. He told me that he really wanted to name the boy, the baby boy, after himself, first and middle. I wasn't on board at first, but after thinking about it, I agreed. I told him that for the girl baby, I wanted her first name to be my sister's, since we're very close, and the middle to be my dad, since he passed when I was young. My dad's name isn't really unisex, but it's becoming a common girl's name. My fiance got visibly sad and told me he wanted to name the baby girl after his mom and have the middle name be his dad's name, which is a unisex name. I told him that I didn't really think it was fair that he got to name the first baby what he wanted, and now he wants to name the second baby what he wants. Which way should this go, Tamika?
That's a rough one. I'm here. Just naming a child in general is a real rough situation, you know. And anytime you're in a relationship, especially when you're having children, you got to come to a point where you're agreeing, because if you don't come to a moment of agreement, you're always going to be feuding, whether it's the name of the children, you know, what school to put the children in, you know, who's the doctor that delivers. You know, you both have to get to a point where one of you has to be the bigger person, and then not accuse the person for the rest of their lives because, oh, well, I wanted to name it this one and I wanted to name it that one. Does it really matter as long as you agree?
Okay. All right. Shanti, which way should it go?
I think this is what happens when you be finding out the sex of the baby before the baby is born. See how you got all this extra time to be bickering? If he wants to make the baby a junior, the boy a junior, then how are you now stepping into the other baby? I think that's kind of selfish. If your suggestion was for one child, then how you mandating the other name? So you already see how this parenting is gonna go. If you find out that there's one boy and one girl, then you name the boy, I name the girl, and, you know, we bring the names to the table and we agree on both. But it can't be you just name it, and now you want to name after your mom. Mm-hmm. No. Just wait until the babies are born. That way you ain't got much time to bicker. So you got to name the baby and let it be that. That's too much.
Okay. Pastor KL? How's this go down?
One boy, one girl, one baptism. You know, I feel, listen, and you know, y'all ladies are going to be mad, but I feel since I did most of the work, I should be able to name both the children.
You know
that's just how it works
world.
Out.
You know.
On a serious note, if I'm able to name the boy, by all means, you should be able to name the girl. But now, you say you want to name the child after your dad, the middle name. Now, the middle name is, if his name is Harry, I don't want Harry as a middle name. I mean, we should be able to compromise, you know. If his name was Brutus or something like that, we should be able to compromise on that, you know. So yeah, as long as the middle name is, you know, we don't want her to automatically be identifying with the wrong sex in the beginning. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All righty now, Pastor Charlotte, how does this go down?
Well, I think that since he's naming the boy and we agreed on that, then that's him. Now it's time for the girl, then that should be her. So even in the mix of whatever the man's name is, you know, nowadays, you know, they can take it in like Michael and become Michelle. And, you know, so you still fitting in there. So we should be able to name the female and he'd be able to name the junior.
Okay. Brother Al, how's it going down?
Oh, well, we definitely got to bring the names to the table, because you know how people give a dumb name, boy, you start hearing some craziness. But I do think, you know, if she allowed me to go ahead and name the boy after me, I would tell her, okay, you know, throw out some names and we'll pick from there. Just to make sure there ain't no crazy name. So I think they should work together on that. You know, you gave me your son, okay, cause you take the girl, but let's put some names out there and make sure they are right first. on Wonder Girl walking around named Heaven and Earth. They're like, who? So, we don't want to do that. We don't want, we want to do that. So we definitely got to put the names on the table.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty. I got time for one more. It's a quickie, too. My friend can't sing is the name of this. It's the name of this story. All right. I met my friend in middle school, and we've been very close off and on ever since. And he was born into a very artistically inclined family. All right. So this guy has a good job in a well-paid, respected field outside of the arts, and is also almost graduating from a prestigious school. However, he recently told us that even though he loves his job and his field, he noticed that he barely has time to sing and write songs now. And he is finally ready to make the big step and choose singing as his full-time activity. He had already quit his job by the time he told us, and because he didn't want anyone talking him out of it. But he's still going to wait until the end of the semester to drop out of school. His voice is weak and shaky. He writes lyrics that are either very cliche or nonsensical, but I and all of his friends would clap and support him. First, because we didn't want him to feel bad, and secondly, because we thought he could improve. But talent shows were genuinely painful for all of us. Should I tell him that he really can't sing? Or do I allow him to go forward and pursue, because remember, he didn't quit his job already, with thinking that we are supporting him to the degree that we appreciate and agree that he can sing? What do I do? Shanti, how do we start this off?
You ain't there, friend. So my friend can sing, and they say that they want to do music, which everybody wakes up and wants to do music. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. But now I'm hearing, because most likely I'm going to tell you from then, like, music what? You can't sing. All right. And then when I hear you quitting your like, school or work, you're not good at. Nah, I have to tell you. What does the word say? A friend keeps a friend sharp, or the egg sharp? However the verse goes. Yeah, I got to uphold that verse. Because I can't say that I love you and sit here and watch you do this. I'm not your friend. So because I'm your friend, let me tell you, you suck. Don't do that. And I'm not coming to the shows. I can't support this like that.
Okay.
Hey, Pastor Steph, right. Can I go next? Or I gotta go.
Yes, you can go next.
Thank you very much. So I'm gonna tell you that you can't sing. You know, I'm and that's why he did it, because he didn't want to hear from his people that he can't sing. He know he got some weakness in there. So, like I said, the best thing always is to let them learn on their own. Okay, you gonna quit your job? You gonna quit school? All that going to change when you're sitting home and your stomach starts rumbling, when your cell phone gets cut off, when you're sitting in the dark. That going to stop. So, yeah, all that going to stop. I'm going to let you learn. I'm going to tell you, hey, listen, why would you do that? Like, you need more work. Why would you do that? And if he's consistent, okay, you know what? I'm going to let you learn. Now, like I said, when that night comes and he's hungry and the lights are off and your phone is off, you're thinking about going back to that job.
Uh-oh. All right now. Well, thank you, Brother Al. Thank you very much. All right. Have a blessed day, Brother Al. Oh, Pastor Charlotte, we're coming to you. Do you tell your friend that they can't sing?
Well, I'm sensitive now. You said that I should have been nice about the cookie.
because y'all stepping on my toes. All he had to do was come on his due time with Pastor Steph, and they will let you know that you cannot sing because they are my friends.
Oh, my God.
And since they are my friends, they let me know that I can sing, and for me to keep my job that I'm doing, do what you know how to do. And so, therefore, I would tell them, because my feelings got hurt, so I have to, you know, express so somebody else's feelings won't get hurt. Now I'm going to cry.
All righty then. Tamika, do you tell your friend that they can't sing?
Now, anybody that's ever listened to this broadcast for a length of time knows that, you know, I do sing. And because I do sing, I'm really, really sensitive. I love you, Pastor Charlotte, and I'm not talking about you, but I'm really, really sensitive when people can't sing. And it just does something to me. Like, my eyes can't even stay open. My ears, ooh, it just hurts, you know. And so my thing is, as your friend, you know, I'm really your friend, I should be honest enough to be able to tell you, you know, there's a train wreck coming, you know, as opposed to seeing you get trampled by the train wreck, you know, as opposed to you getting damaged and, like, you know, for the rest of your life you messed up because you decided to do something that really wasn't in your best interest. Honey, I love you, but you cannot sing, and I don't think that this is a good avenue for you. I think maybe you could try some, you know, night jobs and things like that. And if it doesn't prevail for you, then you see that that's not the avenue for you. But I'm not going to sit there and allow you. I'm not coming to support, you know. Yeah, I'll come and to certain nightclubs, but I have to be honest with you. I want to keep you from damaging the rest of your life. Now you done quit your job and all of that stuff. I can't stand by and honestly say that I'm your friend and allow you to go through that turmoil, especially by yourself.
All righty. Pastor KL, you got the last word today. Do you tell your friend that they cannot sing?
Well, you know what? Pastor Tamika just said something really, 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 really politically correct about she wants to keep you from, you know, messing up the rest of your life. I want to keep you from messing up the rest of my life because I got to keep listening to this, you know, and I don't want to hear this no more. You know, so I'm having a selfish moment. I'm thinking about me right now. You know, but I think after the first talent show, when you heard him sing Wind Beneath My Wings, you know, and the crowd was blown away because you were so bad, I would have told you then, no, baby, this is not for you. You know, a lot of times we make people what we call the neighborhood stars. And because you hum a song, everybody say, boy, you great. You this until you go to the Apollo and everybody booing you off the Apollo. You can't sing. You know, why do I have to wait for you to talk about quitting your job now? You're going to ask me to borrow money because you ain't going to get no gigs. No, I got to tell you straight up, you cannot sing. I don't care what language you do it. Now, listen, if I went to Pastor Charlotte's church every Sunday and she leading devotion, baby, just play the tambourine. Just play the tambourine. You know, there is a pleasure in the tambourine. Make a joyful noise in the tambourine. But listen, don't walk out of your calling. And too many people right now are walking out of their calling because of their so-called friends.
All righty. Woo! Has this been some conversation today? Thank you so much, my D-Time crew. You always come through big time. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well. Everybody enjoy.
Love Jesus. Wear the tambourine when you need it. Wear the tambourine when you need it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, all right. Let me read this benediction. Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. We talked about a lot of stuff today, and by all means, we want to make sure that, you know, we are, you know, given sound biblical advice through all the laughs and everything, you know, and I love this crew because, you know, we know how to, you know, kind of do it both ways. And, you know, I want to go back to the very first story with, you know, denying or turning down the money. You know, do you want to risk getting in front of a judge who then says, why was your 9-year-old at a 50,000 attendee rap concert? And because you played a part in getting this child killed, I cannot, you know, I won't grant you any money. You know, because we've even seen some prisoners, you know, some crazy, not prisoners, criminals get off, you know, from little things like that. So you don't want to walk into anything like that. You know, I think our biggest message today is making sure we handle our level of responsibility, whether even in the story of the mother with the picture up on the wall. You know, if you're going to put your daughter's partner there, you know, the person never said that, you know, that mom did not like, mom has never, you know, sometimes moms are really crafty or they think they are and how they, you know, how they do things. And clearly with her not having the picture there at all, so we know something is wrong. But there's a responsibility that we have. We do know it's your wall. We do know it's your house. Then put a small picture there. Be considerate. Be considerate. You know, no one wants to make you feel guilty about it. But if we're talking, you know, on a godly level, you know, you wanna try to at least, you know, make your child feel okay. All right. So make sure, you know, we handle our responsibilities, and sometimes that may mean going outside the box and doing things that would please someone else. Okay.
You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew. Oh, did we have a good time today? As well as thanking you for hanging out with us and joining the conversation. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much for your thought-provoking comments. Please make Jesus your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to you. Until tomorrow, God spares when it's Freestyle Friday and we get to hear from the men. Oh, I love you.